Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, halflings. Welcome back. I, as always, am Jasper William Cartwright, and with me today is...
I'm going to do the voice as well. Luviana Onati Lewis Niao, but everybody calls me Onati.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Cobb, but some people call me Hey, which is actually a nickname that I had in middle school.
Well, there you go.
Okay, yeah. Excellent.
The teacher said, what would you like to be called? You can pick literally anything. So I said, call me Hey. And he called me Hey for the rest of my time at middle school.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds very Jeremy Cobb.
Really committed to the bit.
And we are extremely thrilled today to have the incredible Christina Ariel with us today, star of so many incredible shows, including the most recent D20 adventure, Pirates of Leviathan, and obviously my true Captain America. Christina, how are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to be here and to meet all of you. It's really exciting for me, and I'm honored that you wanted to have me to talk about stuff and things.
Oh my god!
You will come to terms with your own weakness!
Old Prince vibe?
Focus on your task!
Yeah! Just shut your mouth! No one is interested!
You think this is just a game?
But suffer and learn!
Let's make them even more black!
We're about to get into something real big now.
Thank you
very much. And just before we start, thank you so much for being here, Christina. We're really excited to have you on and just been catching up with Pirates of Leviathan. And it's just, yeah. Really.
Did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
Well, I've been catching up.
Listen, I am one of those people. I'm excited about my work. I am excited about it. And especially this, like, this was the most, like, therapeutic thing to do, like, in the process of, like, being in intense grief.
Yeah.
To go into this adventure has been so therapeutic, especially to do it with people that I love so, so much. Like, I've played, Marisha's been my DM twice. She was my DM. Yeah. I'm like launching into all this. Hi, I'm Christina. Nice to meet you. I have a lot of feelings and a lot of passion, and I talk a lot.
Yeah.
It's what we love here.
Like, you are killing the game right now. Like, you are doing everything you've done. We've now done D20, Critical Role, Sirens is amazing. Like, your cosplay alone made me want to talk to you. Because, like, some of your cosplay is truly... The Captain America, where you've got, like, the full Black Power fist raised, like, genuinely made me cry. I was like, that is a beautiful image. Yeah. But hopefully we'll get onto that a bit later. I wanted to dive in, Christina, to a little bit of your origins story. Because I was listening to Adventuring Academy, and you said that you played D&D for the first time live. What is this madness? Like, how did you even, like, did you not even have, like, a session zero or something to, like, warm you up? Or, that's crazy.
I didn't have a group session zero, but I sat down with Satine before, and she gave me, like, a rundown of how to play. We used D&D Beyond and created Ariza, who's my baby, my first character. Oh. And then she was just like, play, like, go play. And
amazing.
I played my first game on stream, and I have not stopped since.
Man.
Yeah, literally. Just like every day I'm like getting another stream.
Yeah. What an intense way to start.
Yeah, like a truly intense way. Like, I think it's the same for a lot of people. Like, once you get that, like, D&D hook, it's like, oh, I'm not letting go now. Yeah. I'm going to keep going. Like, this is too good. This is too awesome.
No, fun fact, my best friend has never watched any D&D thing. She's never watched any of my shows, anything. She didn't really get it. Like, it's not, like, kind of her thing. So she watched Pirates of Leviathan the other day, and it was her first intro to, like, D&D.
Yo.
And she's, like, texting me, and she's like, what are these numbers? Look at this fan art of cheese. And, like, she was in it. She was like, why didn't you tell me about this? I'm like,
I definitely did.
She's like, it's like an audible story, but you also have the acting, So you have this descriptive narrative, but you also get to see the feelings on the people's faces, and it's amazing, Tina. I'm so excited. And she, like, has gone now. Like, when her kids go to bed, she goes on this deep dive into D&D stories. Since Wednesday, she's, like, fully, like, dove in, and it's like... I call her my herb derb, my September. Like, we danced Earth, Wind, and Fire at each other's weddings. Like, we always joked that we would, and we did. And then we both had kids in September. I tried to have my baby induced on the 21st night of September. No joke. Like, they gave me a joke. They were like, when do you want to, like, we're going to set your induction. I'm like, the 21st of September. Ended up having them on the 19th. Shout out to my baby whose birthday was
yesterday. Yay! Oh. That actually really reminds me, my incredible partner who's, like, helping produce the show, she does so much work, Jade, she also was, like, a reluctant, like, she's a big nerd, but a reluctant sort of D&D fan, and she's slowly been really getting into it, to the point where she actually joined in one of our games. But Christina, one of my favorite moments was that she came in having seen your introducing yourself as Bob on Pirates of Leviathan, and she came in and was like, have you seen this? This is incredible. Just what? I just, like, threw this phone in my face and just made me watch your introduction because it is amazing. It's like, so probably good. The best intro of a character. Like, you just owned the thing. And you can see everyone else on the Zoom just being like, whoa. I was just like, I was dancing. Right. Oh, man, it was a great moment.
So Brennan fully knew captured- but didn't know. Like, I feel like he knew, but he didn't know. Like, I told him, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And... I finished the song, like, seconds before I had to get it, like, to do it. And, I've never gone into a character creation session and been so freaking excited to, like, talk about it. And, like, there was something about, like, I fucking love Bob so much, excuse my language, but I just do. And, like, I, like, didn't do the voice really for anybody until, like, so that, like, no one would know what she sounded like. I made sure even in the intro, I'm like, hi, I'm Christina. And I was, like, very monotone just so it could be, like, boom. Yeah. Like, I hope this has the impact that I think it does.
And it definitely did.
I love it.
You sent Twitter into meltdown with that intro.
I watched it today and I was screaming in the lounge and my housemates came down and I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, it's just D&D and a cartoon!
Yeah, we're loud people. We got together and we were like, oh man, I think our neighbors must have been. It was very funny.
So were you writing that during the episode? Is that what you, like, you were literally writing it during the episode?
Yeah, like, I always have a book with me, and I'm going to try not to show you any spoilers, but, like, there's, like, these are this is the songs that I wrote, like, that came to me while we were playing that game.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was just, like, it was a bardic inspiration superstore for me.
Yeah.
And amazing. I don't know if the other ones will hit the same, but I know I put a lot in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
That's so awesome.
So excited.
It's funny. Normally when we have guests on, we kind of, like, say, oh, okay, so how did you start getting into, like, live streaming games? Or, like, but you just started there. So I guess I kind of want to ask you the opposite question of, like, have you played any home games since? Like, do you do that as well? Or are you just like, I don't have time for this. I'm playing too much already.
No, I have a really, like, we're not playing right now because of COVID and everything and everyone's all in different places. Mm. It is fantastic. It's Kyle Newman, Will Wheaton, Maude Garrett, Satine Phoenix, Matthew Miller plays with us occasionally. Like, it's just
what a table.
Like, it's really a group of super, super awesome people. Deborah Ann Wall comes in and plays. She's one of my absolute favorites. I played with her in the game with Marisha as well. But, like, this home game is just, like, it's no stream, no anything. It's just us being goofy and Kyle cooking us dinner. Dude made ratatouille, which I only knew about the movie, but the food is bomb too. And, like, I have, like, other home games. We've got one, my friend Todd Stashwick, I just played with him. And, like, I play a lot of home games as well. I play a lot of stuff that's not on stream, that's just for therapy. Like, to keep myself going. And it's pretty great. I don't have as much time because I have a 1-year-old and an 8-year-old. So it's like, Yeah. I still am trying to do this. Like, this week has been the most wild week. Like, we record Rise of the Veiled Alliance, which is about to premiere for our second season.
Woo-hoo.
So, like, doing that, then had the premiere of Pirates of Leviathan, and just did D&D Celebration all weekend, had two panels and a game. I got to play with Rivals of Waterdeep finally.
Hey.
Super hype. Shout out to Tanya, because I love you. And so, like, got to do that game for D&D Celebration, like, all of this, and trying to, like, throw a family birthday party for my baby. Like, that's been this week of but I love home games. I enjoy playing at them. And it's, like, it's not just a performance thing. I just like to play the
game. Just enjoy it. I'm glad that you get to play those home games, because I find that, you know, we very recently did our first ever live session. First time we've ever, all of us have ever played live with people, and it was crazy.
I saw it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's like literally legitimately unbelievable. My girlfriend was like, guys, you realize Christina was there, and like in the chat I was like, what? Like, why was she there? Like, that's mad. So no, thank you for that.
Yeah,
and
thanks for
generally
watching.
Thank you for supporting the show as well. Like, you retweeted us early doors. You were like, yeah, I'll holler for this.
Why wouldn't I? You guys are like, you're cool, like, you guys have this like cohesive vibe that's just it makes me happy, and to know that you guys are doing the thing and the representation for a D&D podcast with three black halflings, like, it's amazing. And just to see that and to hear the impact, because I'm gonna assume from the accent that you are not in America. You could be, but I think you're not.
I'm not. Jeremy is.
I am American. I will be in America soon.
Your name is Jeremy. I know you're in America.
I am South African.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're from all over, which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to your daughter, right? Because you said that she was born on the 19th.
My son.
Your son. Happy birthday to your son.
My son.
Yeah.
He just has a lot of hair.
Oh, okay. No. Happy birthday to your son. People used to mistake me for a girl all the time when I was a child, too, actually.
This is little, like, birthday corner with all the Mickey Mouse balloons and such.
Oh, that looks like fun.
That is the dream.
Can I be a kid
again? I did not want him to wake up without balloons, and he comes out, and there's, like, because he loves Mickey Mouse. Like, it's hypnotic. Like, he will hear the hot dog song and stop everything. And, like, I can get anything done in the time it takes for the hot dog song.
I love it.
And to eat yesterday, we had hot dogs for his birthday. We had, like, hot dogs.
Oh, nice.
It was hot diggity dogs and macaroni and cheese.
That sounds like a blast.
And that's like, he had like, it was so, I'm sorry, I will get, don't get started on the baby, because I will get so distracted. But he was so excited. He comes out and he sees like these big Mickey Mouse balloons, and he goes, whole face drops, and he's just like petting Mickey on the face. And I'm like, I wasn't supposed to be able to have kids. Like, I was told I wouldn't have kids without like serious medical interventions. And then we bought our house 2 weeks after we moved to the house. I found out I was pregnant. And like, it has been the most like beautiful miracle of my life. And it, like, to be able to simultaneously mom and do what I do without like kind of losing that, like, my identity, I'm still able to do that, but also like be wholly invested in both of these things and give them the space that they need, and kind of like keep that healthy kind of work-life balance throughout all of it. And I'm so excited.
It definitely deserves applause. Like, I feel like I'm hanging on, and I do not have two children to look after. Like, I'm just about getting through it right now. So hats off for that.
Yeah.
But to go back to what you were saying earlier about representation, because it actually leads on to what I was going to wanted to talk to you about and dig into, which is just your experience of being a black person, like, in these spheres. Like, we know we've got a long way to go before we get to a place where we all are on like a level playing field. And we talk a lot about the fact that D&D as a game has intrinsic problems, which makes it difficult to include everyone, and whether that be women, whether that be people of color, people who have disabilities. And so just like, what's your experience, I guess, being being a part of it and being part of the wider world of D&D? And then like, have you noticed it change in the time that you've been doing it? Has it got sort of how have you found it, I guess?
I think there's always going to be people who gatekeep to a certain extent because they want to keep things the same, which you would think, hey, like, I feel like an outsider. Why would I not want more people to feel welcome? Then you remember that everything is systemic. But, like, there's so much because people don't realize it's a problem. Like, some people don't look at a picture and realize, like, hey, everyone in this picture looks like me. Everyone in this flyer for this thing looks just like me. Like, and they don't see that as an exclusion thing. They just say, oh, that's who I know. That's who I'm around. Well, examine that. Like, go deeper into that. And that's what we have to do with these tables and with owning your seat at the table. Like, knowing that it is your seat, knowing that you fought for that seat, knowing that you deserve to be in it. And how do I extend that table?
Yeah.
How do I bring, like, again, with Tanya Cipher of Tears, she is amazing about bringing people in. And, like, we're not networking up necessarily. We're all trying to network sideways so that everybody can come up together. Like, there's space for everybody at this table. But because people feel protective over this thing that they see as theirs, and it's hard for them to let go and say, like, no, like, this person can play, this person can play. I haven't had as much of it coming in the way that I did. Like, I mean, I do, because it's still people, like, especially when they hear, like, oh, you played your first game on stream. Bro, every pro was a beginner at some point.
Yeah.
You have to start. If you keep telling people you can't start and you're not professional, but you don't let them start, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And also, like, it's a complete moot point when talking about D&D, because if you're a player of D&D, it's about life experience more than it's about the rules. It's about investing in a character. It's about enjoying the experience. Like, sure, you can be a rules nerd and you can go hard on, like, rolling dice and whatever, but ultimately it's about the experience, especially if you're doing something audience-facing. So I'm like, that's just... This is rubbish. Like, shut the hell up. Move on.
It's like the great philosopher Ludacris once said, what's your fantasy? And I think that, like, that's the thing. When you're playing this game and you're creating these characters, this is your fantasy. This is your fantasy melded with that of others. So it's being respectful of the people at the table. And having more experience at the table can create such a beautiful adventure.
Yeah.
So we have to have tables that are diverse. We have to have tables that include people from different walks of life, people from different experiences, because that's how you get a beautiful story. That's why our world is beautiful. It's this connection of these amazing stories and these passions. And you can't get there if you don't let people start.
Yeah.
And I want to see more people start. I want to see more people that look like me doing the damn thing. I want to be on a panel and be able to look over it like, again, I'm going to keep talking about Pirates of Leviathan because it is one of, like, the most diverse cast that I've been a part of. I have done maybe two other games where I played with another Black woman.
Wow.
So to be at a table with mother freaking Abria, who is just a powerhouse of talent, to be there with B-Dave, to be there with Carlos Luna, like, to be there with Matt and Marisha and Brennan, who's just, like, our story was enriched by the differences of the people at the table.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all these different personalities and storytellers coming together to weave a new story, and that's what D&D is. We're all creating a story. You can talk about the rules, you can talk about whatever it is, but how you play is how you play. You don't have to play like Matt. You don't have to play like any big streamers. And when you realize that, like, you start to realize anybody can play, anybody can do this. Like, you don't have to keep people out, especially keeping people out, because, like, what are you worried about? What is going to happen? Hey, do you want to play a game? Violence! You're playing a game of, like, where sometimes there's violence.
Yeah, I just think as well, I'm like, we're not going to take anything away from you. You're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
If you don't like the dumb stuff we say on our show, then don't use it. Like, it's fine. Just, it's chill. Yeah. You don't need to like, get angry about it. Do you know what I mean? We're saying this stuff so that more people feel comfortable to join in. Because that's the thing that we've found. I don't know if you found this as well. It's like, people don't feel comfortable enough to join in because they don't feel like it's their space. I think it was, you know,
Arthur,
you said...
Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing about, like, I don't know, 8-9 months ago, I think my first point of access was a very much a white table. And bless them, Cotton Socks, lovely friends of mine, no problem. But, like, it was kind of polarizing because then, because I start to research things a little bit before I do anything, then I was just finding everything that I was finding online, all of the people that were speaking to me and explaining the rules and explaining law or the tables that I was watching, everybody was white. Like a whole sea of just, and for the most part as well, white men. And it was kind of quite specific, which then kind of, it built up so that, I think that was one of the worst games of my entire life, because it built up so much anxiety around it.
Yes.
Like, I was trying to do D&D right the whole time, as opposed to just do D&D, you know, like, as opposed to just roll some damn dice, you know?
Yeah.
I was really, really trying to, like, okay, I've got to play this. I think I played, like, a terrible mix as well. I think it was, like, a tabaxi warlock with a haunted one background. It was all over the damn place. I was so confused. but, you know, it set a certain level of expectation. And I really enjoyed because I was doing a deep dive after I watched Pirates of the Leviathan today. I really enjoyed the Black AF roundtable that you guys had because, like, that was just so illuminating, especially that discussion about, I think Gabe might have made the point about sort of leaning towards monster races as your playable characters because they're the only ones that have a sort of, that are coded with oppression and therefore coded with POC sort of tints to them. And it was just really nice to just hear somebody else say that because then you don't feel like you're so isolated. It's like, I'm not crazy. It is a little racist. I'm not nuts. It is racist.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah, but yeah. But that wasn't really a question.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get that. And I am kind of intentional about my characters for that reason. Like, it's so hard for some people to see black people in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so hard for it to, like, in all of the realm of fantasies, like, you can picture a minotaur and a dragon, but you can't picture black people just being there. So, like, I'm very, like, even about art, when there's character art being created, they're like, what does your character look like? Me?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
You can change the ears. You can do whatever. But her hair is about to be like this. She's about to have, like, I am very, like, even with Pirates of Leviathan, like, when they had the art first sent over, it's like, okay, well, I'd always had that feeling of being a bother. Like, I'm bothering people by, like, voicing my needs.
We got to get rid of that. Like, yeah.
But
all the time.
The first time I did so, and I've shared this story before, Marisha, when I did Honey Heist, I was like, oh, my name's going to be Bear Apostate. So I get this art and it's a blonde bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had this huge anxiety attack around, like, calling and being like, hey, like, this is not like this, like, I, like, it seems like a small thing, but it's not to me. Like, it's so important to me that this character be representative, even if it's a bear, like, that, like, even then, like, this automatic thought is not that my character is coded as a white character. And you're not gonna, like, send me, like, even with pirates, I'm like, hey, her afro needs to be XYZ. I need you to draw me as I am, not as you stereotypically see me. And I think that's a big thing. When people drawing fan art for black characters, different things like that, like, exaggerating to what your idea of this thing is. Like, you can't see, like, you know the description of it, Asmar is classically beautiful, is all these things, is like, like, and that's what I'm creating. Bitch, I'm fabulous. Let me be fabulous. My character is gonna be fabulous. There's gonna be some young black girl that's looking at this character and it's like, I'm cosplaying that. It's easy for me. Like, I'm going to do this. I see myself in this character. And I can do this cosplay with my fro. Like, I can have my afro out. I can have braids up if I want to. I can be, like, we need to be able to see that. I want to see a fantasy character with a fucking circlet and long braids. Like, I want to see those things because I think it's realistic to the experience. And to think that that most far-fetched, like, when I did Supergirl for my cosplay, and somebody was like, Supergirl isn't black. Supergirl is an alien who shoots lasers from her eyes and flies.
Yep. Get over it.
Like, but she can't be black.
I had a conversation with a guy one time who was on Facebook, a guy like I grew up with, and he was like, he simply could not accept the idea that Superman could ever not be white. Because it was just in his mind, Superman Clark Kent has to be a white person. And it was just like, dude.
Or he could be green, but not black.
Yeah.
But not black.
Yeah.
Not black. This really reminds me of my first... Yeah, my first ever cosplay I did, I was going to a Comic-Con and I wanted to dress up, and I remember being with my friends and being like, okay, who can I dress up who's got an afro? Because I was like, I had a huge afro at the time, it was like past my shoulders, it was massive. And I remember being like, I need to incorporate it somehow because I can't put it anywhere, like it's too big. So then basically I ended up just giving up and getting like just a Spider-Man onesie, right? Got to the day of the thing. I only ordered it, got it the day before, got into it and was like, guys, my afro just won't fit. I was getting my hair caught in it, like trying to zip it. And it was just, so basically what I did was I zipped it up enough and had my afro like kind of bunched out the back.
That's great.
And I can't tell you, I was the most popular person at that Comic-Con. Like it was, people went crazy because I was in like a full black, like Venom Spidey suit with this massive afro poking out the back, and people were just like, yes, that's sick.
Afro Spidey.
And it was like, yeah, and like inadvertently, like that was a hugely empowering moment for me. I didn't mean to do that, and you know what I mean? But I was just like, oh, I could just embrace the fact that I have an afro and like just embrace the fact, okay, practically this doesn't fit inside the suit, so I gotta do something with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that just really reminded me of that. I was wondering as well, Christina, because recently there was a big announcement of Into the Motherland, which just, I'm so excited. Like, so many incredible people involved. I don't know what you can say, what you can't say, but just, it'd be amazing just to hear about how that came about. Like, how did you, was it like a group thing? Were you contacted by, because I know Tanya and B. Dave have been doing a lot of stuff as well. I didn't know if they pulled it together. Like, how did that process come about? It just sounds so fascinating, and I want you to plug the hell out of it so all of our listeners go and check it out.
I can tell you that it's premiering on October 4th. There are a lot of amazing people involved, and it's a system that is being created. It's a whole thing, and I don't... it's one of those things where it's like, it's in the can, but I can't... Well, it's not anything, because we haven't even, like, filmed anything, our full session zero yet. Like, there's so much that is still going into the creative process, but it's going to be worth the journey.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely excited to be a part of something that feels big. Like, it feels like we're creating our table. Like, we are creating our table. We have been invited to the table. We extended it, and now we are creating our own. And I think that's extremely important and what needs to be seen. And I think that's what we're like, we're not going in being like, we're going to change the world. Like, that's not what we're doing, but if it happens, I'll take it. But like, we're like, it's just, these are things that we need to see. These are things that kids need to see. I remember going to PAX and having this girl, she had to be like 11 years old, her and her sister, she like had her dad like take her to this panel that we were doing, and she's like, see, like, people that look like us do play, like, they do these things, and it hits you in the heart because you remember being that person that's like, oh, I would love to do this, and people are like, black people don't do that. Black people don't do that. We're doing it.
Well,
been doing it.
My favorite phrase is, that's some white people shit, and I'm like, it's not though.
You're acting white. You're doing no.
It's really not.
This is not.
Yeah.
They can't have everything.
Like, that's another like symptom of everything, is like, you automatically think like, that's some white people shit. Like, that idea that like, these things are so exclusive to like, this group of people. It's like, no, like, this art is not restrictive. This, like,
I think that's essentially what art is, right? Art is to be shared. Like, that's the very essence of what art is supposed to be. You know, its earliest iterations, is it supposed to be something that is shared and enjoyed by all? It's something that is that tells a story, that gives something, you know. And I think if you're blind enough to not be able to embrace something because it's different to what you're used to, like, that's your beef. Like, no one else's.
I think if I'm being honest and I look at it from like a things I've seen in life kind of introspective way, like I think in a way, like I know this is totally going off of talking about Into the Motherland. It's going to be great.
No, go for it.
This is like a stream of consciousness.
Trust
thing.
Me, we go all kinds of places on this show. You just take it where you want to.
I think there's this inherent idea, like if you look back to like white flight when people were leaving neighborhoods because black families were moving in, or you look at like there was a club back in my hometown and when black people started going, like then people started to leave, or like you see like black people on cruises and people start to feel a certain way about this cruise line or this thing, and it's this inherent idea that black people cheapen things, and when in fact we elevate that shit. But like the thing is, like, that idea is so like ingrained in people and they don't even realize it. Like, they don't even realize that they're looking at it in this way of like, oh, like you're trying to come to the table. You're trying to come into this thing. You're trying to force diversity on
me. Yeah, and you're going to be really loud and aggressive and all this rubbish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's, people aren't scared of black people. They're scared of what they think of black people. Like they're scared of the caricature that they have in their mind that comes from the way that we're perceived. So even having this table of people telling a story, like, is revolutionary, even though it doesn't have to be. And it's not this black game. It's not this white game. It's like, this is just a game. Like, this is us existing and creating a game. And with this, like, with lots of POC in the mix, like, it does feel like this experience where you can be yourself. Like, I feel going into this table, much like coming into this interview, like I am not on my guard. Like, I am not being judged in the same way. I don't have to listen for somebody to like make a sideways comment that is problematic. But like there's, we have to get in these spaces, we have to occupy these spaces, we have to keep creating our own content, we have to keep putting ourselves out there, and the internet has given us that voice in a way, like, you can't claim this culture from us because we have our proof right here, like, this is who we've been, this is who we are, and just because it's new to you don't mean it's new to us. And, like, taking that experience to the streets, to the internet streets. Like, we're making a space on the internet. We are creating our own lane right now. But we're also not going to say you can't get in it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah. For sure.
Again, that's the difference. Our doors are open. If you decide you want to come and experience or whatever, with respect, we allow that to happen. But there's people who you come in and they're already looking for a reason to get you out. So we are going to these tables, but we're not, we're a novelty at this table.
Like, what, it's,
and
it's like tokenism,
and that's not
right?
Everyone. Yeah, that's not everyone. Like, there's people that I like, I know, like, I'm gonna have a good time and respect, but there are also things that I've said no to because it's like, oh, I needed a, we needed some diversity at this table. So are you free? Like, you're not inviting me because, hey, Christina, you're talented. Hey, I enjoy the way you play. And I think that that's, like, this table is not that. Like, this table, Into the Motherlands, like, I'm going to a table where I'm not there because I'm a black tabletop player. I am there because I am a talented tabletop player because I am a talented person surrounded by these equally talented people who want to create a new space and a new game. And I don't know what it's going to be, how it's going to come out, but I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. That's a really incredible and really like eloquent point. It really, I remember I was watching Lovecraft the other day, the new HBO show. Yeah, it's incredible. And I remember having this thought where I got like 10 minutes in and I hadn't seen anything of the show. And I was like, this is already one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I was like, genuinely it is. I think it's really, really well done. But this thought really dawned on me of like, I wonder when we'll ever get to a point where I won't immediately see a cast full of black people and go, this is exceptional or this is revolutionary. Mm. Where I can actually be critical of something that is, you know, like a celebration of black culture, because we have so little of it, you know. There's and the same with women as well. Like when I see a cast of like all women just like kicking ass and not being it would be so nice to get to a point where I'm like, oh, this is just another show and I can be as critical of it as I am with everything else, you know. I'm not like, oh wow, this is so revolutionary and I'm gonna have to watch it because it's changing the world. For sure. And we start to get there, and then, you know, there's always setbacks.
Cinema's always kind of been like that. Like, going back in life, like, I remember, we're excited about going to see, like, The Best Man or something like that, and it's a movie that people have never heard of, and that doesn't make sense to me. Like, these movies that people have never heard of that are, like, large pieces of my life in cinema, Waiting to Exhale and these things that
set
people don't know
set it off
exist.
As a classic.
But there's people that don't even know about it. Like, Looking in the Mirror, like, playing Missing You. Like, this nigga's real.
Love and Basketball.
Do you know how many times in the back of the car? Love and Basketball. I remember I was in JROTC in high school, and it was like one day where they were like, we don't have to do anything. Like, we can watch a movie. And everybody was like, watch Love and Basketball. Yeah. And the kids that were like, I'm just loving that. It's amazing. This movie is informative. This is a coming of age tale. It is a love story.
Watch this.
I love it.
Also, also has its issues. Like, I'd love to one day like do a deep dive into Love and Basketball and why Quincy was on one.
Yeah.
But like, think about how stuff is marketed. Like, even if you watch a commercial for McDonald's on NBC or CBS, but then you watch one on BET, like these commercials, like they market it that way.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is black media, this is white media, this is black media. Like, that's why Black Panther, like, crossing the pantheon in the way that it did. Yeah. Like that's why it was such a cultural thing, was because it was like getting that same push. It was getting that same marketing push. Like, you can say Blade, but Blade had to like
fight.
Get there with 2 and 3.
And by that point, the quality.
And
then
by that
was
point,
like,
because the first one was the best one. I recently rewatched it and I was like, this movie still stands.
I think Blade is at this point basically known for not only being a good movie starring Wesley Snipes, but mainly for paving the way for X-Men and then Spider-Man to kick off the superhero genre.
Yeah.
It's not really embraced in the same way as either of those movies are, though.
And
Wesley Snipes was going to be in Black Panther when they were going to do it the first time around. He was actually supposed to be the lead.
Wow.
But if you think about it, it's funny because Angela Bassett still probably would have been in the movie. No matter what time period.
Angela Bassett is an ageless being.
Yeah, oh man.
She's an ageless celestial goddess.
Have
you seen the meme?
No.
Have you seen the meme? It's me when I met Angela Bassett and I was like at the Avengers premiere and I'm like staring at her like this and somebody like memed it and it's like, black women doing anything, me. And it's great because like I went to the acting school of Angela Bassett. I used to watch What's Love Got to Do with It and recreate scenes as a kid. Like I can do the entire like Ike and Tina, like... everything, like the whole, like not even the Eat the Cake anime, like I'm talking about like the scenes where they're like in the studio and she's just like, Ike, well, I mean, your songs just, they all sound kind of same. Songs on the like, I mean, it's terrible. It's like I've seen that movie like so many times, like, and I love it because it's like think about like those were the performances that like if you couldn't go to an acting school or performance school, like you were looking at these like strong, like nuanced like performances, and almost all of them star Angela Bassett. I need to take every opportunity to give her her flowers because that woman is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
And she has, like, been putting in the work, like, to the point where she can get an Emmy nomination for Black Lady Sketch Show for just being in the room and existing and saying, like, six lines, and you're like, I got it! You're a goddess! Yes. I love you! You're T'Challa's mom! Like, it's just like...
For sure.
I love that woman so much.
Yeah, oh my, her tribute to Chadwick Boseman brought me like my knees. It was just, that was an incredible, Angela Bassett is fully phenomenal. Her outfits in Black Panther are truly like a thing of beauty. Like she has this white, like a fully kind of like white headdress, which is massive, by the way. Like how she even balanced that thing on her head. But I was like, just breathtaking. She's absolutely incredible. Breathtaking.
The only reason I watched American Horror Story Coven, to be fair.
Well.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, she's the only thing. That's worth seeing in that.
Dude, I like when I thought she was coming back in Apocalypse, like I was like, I'm waiting for her to just walk in here.
And then they
did. And then she did.
Oh no, yes, she did. She did.
Right at the end, she comes back and she's like, she Angela'd her way into the door.
Yeah, but then I was like, she's giving me more. You know, I was so annoyed by that. Sorry. I digress.
I do wanna like, I think when one of the crazy things about it is, or one of the wild things about it is like that cultural moment of grief that we all felt with that. And it's already like being in this like super weird state of quarantine and all that stuff. Like I lost my dad to COVID in April and like to do that. And then to go and lose like, I feel like in the community, the loss of Chadwick Boseman was like something that was very, very visceral. Mm-hmm. Like it was truly like royalty passing for us because like that was such a cultural moment. And like that our art is still like these cultural moments. Like when you think about Coming to America, you think about all these things, like these are people, like think about Prince, like think about these people who their success became an institution to you. To go like they're, so many people like making their way in different mediums and showing up. Like we feel these things so personally because like, that's our aspiration. That's what we're looking up to. That's what we're trying to be. Yeah. We're placing ourselves in these institutions that we have been made to feel unwelcome in. And we hope that we have like one bit of that kind of change or that impact to make it better for someone else.
And they represent that, right? Like, you know, he represented that change, I think. And
like, and it was that you could be this nuanced person. He could be an action hero. He could be a historical figure, a legend, any of those things with a gravitas that people need to know we possess. That they feel like that they refuse to see because they want to see these caricatures until they see like that there are so many different ways to exist, even like for no matter who you are, there are so many different ways to exist as a person, and we need to allow each other the space, especially in gaming, in podcasting, in mediums, in all of these ways. We need to give people that space to exist wholly, and we got to see this person exist wholly in so many different ways through a performance, and that's powerful. Like that's just another nod to how powerful art is. It's just another nod to how powerful these stories can be and how powerful it is to see representation, to see yourself in all mediums. Like if you don't see it, you don't know you can be it. And it just makes it that much harder to go because once again, you said that you went into that first thing asking questions and all of your questions are answered by the same type of person. Like it shouldn't be like finding a unicorn to find like a female. Like it's not. There's so many female gamers and different things. Like, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't feel that big. It shouldn't feel that big and important to find someone with that voice. I mean, I say it all the time, like Black Panther changed my life. You know, the being in that cinema and having, you know, being packed out with other black people who are all screaming and whooping and celebrating and just like getting up. And I was like dancing in the cinema. Like I've never done that before in my life, but I couldn't help it because it was people with, it actually really, the one of my favorite going to the theater and seeing kind of like black culture was they did a Bob Marley musical, which premiered in Birmingham. I just happened to be there, Birmingham in England. And it was a really beautiful show. And I remember there was this really old, like she must have been like 90-year-old black woman who was like hobbling up the stairs in front of me. Like I helped her on the way into the theater. She had the cane and she was like, ah, you know, my back, like, and she was properly old Jamaican mama. And I remember we got to the end of the show and One Love started playing, right? And they were like, everybody on your feet, like this. And this black lady just wound back the clock. She's up, threw her stick into the air, just got up and started grooving. And I'm like, damn, now that is the power of art right there. She just she just went back to being like 40 years old. Like she was jamming in the middle of this. I was like, that is phenomenal. Like, yeah. It was
like
really
when you
hear amazing.
Back that effort.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You got to. You just got to do it.
Like Black Panther was such a beautiful moment. I remember like I watched it with a group of female actors called Gal Dem, and black male actors called For the Mandem, and they kind of booked up Peckham Plex, and we all just filled it up. So you've got like
amazing
all black actors, all of us. All of us with big ass voices in a room, and then one tiny white family in the front were very upset the whole way through watching the movie. But I think the moment I started to cry in the cinema was, I mean, obviously I'm from South Africa, so we have a lot of South African television, and I've seen my language on TV a lot. But it was watching it on a massive screen on an international scale and having John Gani, who did The Island with Athol Fugard and Turned the Tide during apartheid, speaking Xhosa on a screen. And I was like, I don't need the subtitles. And it was like, yes, this is amazing. It was just seeing that massive journey. And Atandwa Gani as well, just like, it really just made it, it made it feel achievable. It took something that was an absolute pipe dream from somebody from Kinross and Mpumalanga. If the world had a butthole, it would be Kinross Mpumalanga. It was the tiniest Afrikaans town on the face of the planet. It's a mining town. To kind of then try and do something as crazy as want to tell stories to people for money. You know, like, it really kind of, like you said, that representation really, really matters. That was a moment of, yeah, okay, cool. Okay. In some capacity, it's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Christina, I'm sort of very aware of the time we have with you. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we always do a thing with our guests on this show.
I'm chilling. I like it.
Okay, cool. We can keep going. But but we always do a thing on with our guests, which is called Tales from the Table. And it's just like usually a stupid or silly story is usually the best. Ours always tend to be. So if you've got like anything, it could be a home game, it could be something from Sirens, or you know, whatever you want it to be. But just like a real moment that sticks out for you, whether it's funny or stupid or made you emotional or whatever it is.
I feel like it's going to be ridiculous, but I have like two things that immediately come to mind.
Ridiculous.
So
the first one,
the more ridiculous, the better.
So it was an episode of Sirens, and we were going to try to sneak onto these like gambling boats. And we had to like work our way past the guard at the front. And I was trying out this thing with Eriza where she decided that she wanted to be a comedian and a juggler. but she's terrible at it. Like she's bad.
Hey,
like, and I really had balls.
Somewhere.
I was juggling at the table and I would just like throw one ball in the air, throw another ball in the air. And it was great because I had to get past the guy at the door and like, they're like, oh, like, no crime is allowed. No fighting is allowed inside this place. And it was a tent on a boat. And it was like, you can't commit crimes inside because it would be criminal intent.
10 out of 10 right there. It's 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Jeremy's
I'm very proud.
Jeremy's disappointed he didn't come up with that joke. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of joke that Jeremy lives for.
And I tell the story all the time, but my favorite in-game song moment was putting on this like little mini opera during a game of Sirens to do Scorching Ray. And there were all of these like pumpkin rats everywhere, just flooding at our feet, and they're everywhere. So I get to like pull out my Scorching Rays and I'm like, so you pumpkin rats want to fight? Well, listen, babe, I've got all day. yes, yes, something, something. And it's like, but I hope you'll burn from my scorching ray. And then Kelly, Lindy Angelo goes, her scorching ray, my scorching ray. I hope you'll burn from my scorching ray. And it was like the best like moment wow. for like, had so much fun, like just kind of getting to like do Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's oh, so amazing. So an opera would be great fun. I've done a few operas. I should get in contact with some people. We should write a D&D opera. That would be hilarious.
Kelly, I love you, the opera geek. Kelly and Hannah Rose, Wild Rose Mage, they created a College of the Opera. So they have a bard college. So there's a supplement on D&D, or not D&D, or DM's Guild. That is their compendium for College of the Opera, and you'll know it because it's got Kelly on the front.
That's amazing. I've got to check that out. Now I can get all my
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
Into D&D. That's going to be awesome. It actually reminds me, we keep talking about the fact that like we're sort of hoping to do some like one shots, some different themed one shots. Like I'm desperate to run like an anime one or a time travel based one. You know, we, like all
like
these
Tenet?
Kind of. Like, and we've always said like the end goal. Yeah, like yes, like Tenet. Oh. He had to bring it up again.
I try to bring Tenet up in every single episode now.
My end.
Did you go see it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we went to see it. Yeah, we went to see it. Yeah. Nazi hasn't seen
it's
it
just
yet.
Like a running. I think we did a minisode and it just completely got derailed with me and Jasper talking about Tenet for like 30
yes.
minutes. So now I try to bring it up in every single episode.
I got to watch John David Washington play football when I was younger. We used to go. I'm from Columbus, Georgia, and they always had the Tuskegee Morehouse game there, and it was so cool because Denzel and Pauletta would come to the game.
Oh, that's so
cool.
And
they would sit and like just in the stands, like, supporting their kid, like, out there at his games. Like, dude came to Columbus, Georgia to watch the Tuskegee Morehouse game.
Yeah.
And it is still one of, like, the most random things in the world is, like, to look over and you see Denzel, like,
watching a football game. That's
great.
And now his son is in Tenet.
Yeah.
And now his son's... And it's one of those things, like, I gotta be honest, he kills it. Every time I see him on screen, I'm like, fair play, you know? Like, your dad's Denzel, but you bring it.
Yeah.
Like, you bring fire every time. John David is just a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love an interview he did where somebody was like, you're Denzel's son. He's like, I'm Pauletta's son, too. Like, he's like, give my mom, like, her flowers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yes.
I knew Denzel was going to raise good kids.
I was always going to be a good daddy. Yes.
You are the dream, my dude. The dream.
I love as well, Denzel is like the worst at hiding when he's disappointed about not getting Oscars. Like whenever the camera cuts back to him, Denzel's always sat there like, mm-hmm, really? Okay. That's so good.
We're doing this again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really? Cool. Another white guy? Yeah, okay, cool. Fine.
Mm. Again, Angela Bassett should have an Oscar by now.
No!
If not for What's Love Got to Do with It. Like, I don't care. Give that woman her flowers. She has played Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
She has played Betty. Like, she was in Malcolm X, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was in Vampire in Brooklyn.
Tell me. Yes. She's in everything.
Yes.
She is. Give that woman her Oscar. I don't want her getting an honorary Oscar. I want her getting an Oscar.
Like
I want her to EGOT right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a lot of feelings about Angela Bassett.
No. I think this is now officially Angela Bassett Appreciation Podcast. airing every Thursday. Christina's going to come back. We're just going to chat solely Angela Bassett. One day we'll get her on the show as well.
There we go.
That'll be the end goal.
Today we're talking Waiting to Exhale. Bernadette, burn it down.
I would legitimately listen to this show. Like, that sounds
amazing.
Like, that actually sounds really fun.
That's the whole thing. We'll just do a whole podcast of an Angela Bassett appreciation, and then the final episode will be talking to Angela Bassett and just giving her flowers for an hour.
Yeah, literally, she doesn't even say anything. We just sit there complimenting her for an entire hour.
Yeah,
we just get this thing you did and this thing. We didn't even let her speak. We're just
your
like,
braids
you just
and coven.
Yep. There's a list.
We compete to see who can compliment her for the longest, like unbroken. Like, it's full, you're not allowed to write anything ahead of time, you just have to go off the dome and fully, like, improvise a series of, just pour your heart out to Angela Bassett.
Have compliments.
That'd be amazing.
And then at the end, she nods her head at whoever wins. She doesn't speak. She just nods her head.
And you,
the rest,
and you transcend like in Cats. You just kind of go to like some upper place, you know, some glorious place of ancestors.
The upper room.
And, you know,
you take your place inside of her headpiece or her hairpiece, just like the headdress thing that she wears in Black Panther. You just appear inside of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You become the white locks that are a nod to Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, those
by the way, do you think Storm is gonna? Do you think Storm is gonna show up? Anytime soon.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that was their like kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of way of doing something about it. It was like, oh, remember? But it's not her. But look, she's got like, I feel like that was very much one of those kinds of things. It was like like when they put Howard the Duck in the movie.
Yeah.
And then you don't see him again until the big battle in Endgame. And it's like, oh, Howard the Duck. You were
Howard
in an end
Duck.
Credit scene and then you were in the collector's thing. But like, we're not going to, like, real give you, like, Howard the Duck.
I
love Howard the Duck so much.
Yeah. I guess Marvel hasn't announced any Phase 4 stuff, have they? Because I'd be really interested to know what they're going to do with X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about what role I'm playing yet, but, you know, it's coming, guys. Like, I'm going to be Miles Morales. There you go. I'll tell you. That's the truth. That's what it is.
I believe
kill for Storm movie. Just Storm right now. No one else.
Just Storm.
For 2 hours. I just want to see a strong black woman raise the power of the heavens upon her oppressors. That's what I want to watch for an hour and a half. I want to watch them suffer and learn.
Starring Angela Bassett. Starring Angela Bassett as Storm.
Starring Angela Bassett.
Turns out that she was actually T'Challa's mom.
Do you know what would be the best? If like Angela Bassett played like the older Storm, who's like passing it down to like, and we see like a whole training montage with like Angela Bassett teaching young Storm how to use her powers. I just feel like that would be. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if it's not canon. Just let it happen.
Angela Bassett has like her arms in What's Love Got to Do Ooh. With It are still aspirational for me. Like just like I don't know what your upper body routine is, but drop it. Like just drop it. Like let me know how you did this thing because like the best part is like her and Courtney B. Vance being married for me. Like even seeing him in Lovecraft, and you're like, you're married to Angela Bassett.
So basically what you're saying is Angela Bassett needs to do a Chris Hemsworth style workout app just for the upper for her
Please
arms.
Please gift us with your knowledge, and I want to know your moisturization regimen. I want to know what you're doing with your hair and what's happening there. What are you doing there as well? What are you doing for
the stylist?
And what is your nutritional vibe as well? And the squats. Yeah. What's leg day look like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. How broken are you after leg day?
I just want to know these things so I can
tell us so we can appreciate you even more.
Yeah. Yeah. We just need to appreciate you as much as possible. Please.
Oh, man.
Oh, so glorious. So glorious.
Can I talk about the show? I talked about it a whole bunch, didn't I? Yeah, I went tangenty.
Which
Pirates of Leviathan?
Which show? Pirates of Leviathan?
I appreciate being at a point in my career where people are like, which one?
There's so many. Like, legitimately, there's so many. But yeah, no, Pirates.
Yeah, watch it.
But yeah, for sure. Like, you need to be watching this. There's so much excellence.
It's so great.
It's so good.
And, like, there's so many amazing players as well. Like, me and Jeremy actually had this kind of discussion. Like, we love seeing, like, Matt play as well. Like, he's actually a legitimately really good player. Like, Escape from the Bloodkeep is an amazing, like, thing, seeing him play as well. So, but yeah, for sure. I mean, anyone who knows about us knows about you and is following you, etc. But like, tell us, where do we get all of your goodness, Christina? Because people need to know everything about you because you are a shining light and we want everyone to bask in your glory so that one day you can ascend to Angela Bassett levels of greatness.
Oh, wouldn't that be the dream?
That would be, I mean, yeah.
I want to be that caliber of actress. It'll be for tabletop. And the next thing you see me, I'm
yes.
like,
dramatic story.
When they start doing like tabletop awards, like proper, you know, like streaming award style things, and you're there collecting your 10th award, like, it's an honor. Yeah, thank you. Okay, cool.
But no, I'd have to go the Angela Bassett route where they never give me one. And then finally one day, like they decide to give me my flowers. I'll be like 60 and then like, honorary game award, gold, Christina. Oh, sure. Not that I'll sound like that at 60. No, but really
yeah, but we'll be in the back row being like, finally!
Give the woman her flowers!
Yeah, come on! Where's it been? Just booing the whole time if you don't get one. But yeah, no, seriously, where can we find your stuff? Just share all of it. What have you got for us?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christina Ariel, KrystinaArielle. And I am always on Twitter, and that's a problem sometimes because people are rude, but you know, I'm there. Come say nice stuff. We can hang out, talk, chill. Mm-hmm. Friends are friends, whatever.
Yeah.
Follow. You can also watch my stuff. So Mondays, I'll be back in Rise of the Veiled Alliance, Ooh. Journey to the Obsidian Spire, season 2. It's actually going to be, they took half the cast from season 1 and put them in a different adventure from us, but they will be like crossed over at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, have Pirates of Leviathan airing on Wednesdays, and that is from what time is that?
Is it seven o'clock Pacific?
Like, I don't know. Like,
Eastern.
Because I, when the premiere was like the premiere of the trailer was coming out, I was like, yeah, 7 o'clock tonight. Okay. And then it's like, oh no, it's 4 o'clock Pacific.
It's four o'clock for us.
Here we find ourselves. But no, it's a really great show. Super proud of it. There's only 6 episodes, but it's a really great journey. And I hope that you guys will come on it with us because I'm super proud of the experience and I want people to enjoy it. Like, I love for people to like actually like thoroughly enjoy watching this stuff because there's a lot of heart that goes into it. Into the Motherlands premiering October 4th. Make sure you watch and support and do all that stuff. Importantly, like, even with these guys here, support, retweet. Like, yeah, you can look at it, you can like it. Like, share the stuff, share the art, share the work, and let people know it's out there so that way we're raising each other up and amplifying voices the way that we can. Because we're all just trying to make it. It's all a lot, and it's even harder when you're just trying to exist but also get a mantle put on you that you didn't ask for. So we gotta lift each other up and support, and I'm really excited about the stuff that I do have coming up, and I hope that you will support it and watch it. Type my name in YouTube and different stuff comes up, and you can be like, oh, I like this thing or that thing, or this was terrible and hot garbage, but don't tell me.
That's amazing. Thank you, Christina. It's such a joy to talk to you. I'm still so thrilled that we managed to get you on the show, and you've been so supportive of us. But yeah, absolutely, go find everything that she's doing, share it around as well, and bask in the glory. It's so exciting. We've got our own live show now. That's a thing that's happened. Like, we're doing that now. We're continuing our adventures into Wagadu, which I'm just, oh god, I'm so thrilled. We might be having guests on and all kinds of stuff. You know, maybe I'll manage to beg Christina for like another few minutes of her time and we'll get her back, who knows.
I swear y'all think I'm more important than I am because I'm free.
Yes! Fine, we're claiming it. Well, I'm claiming
Claim
that free
blessings.
Time.
If you want to be on the show,
blessings.
Please, absolutely.
Yes.
If you want to play?
Yeah, we would. Claim it would be an honor to play with you.
We can
point.
Work it out.
Yes.
Claim your blessings. Yes. Get your jollof rice. Get your plantain. Claim your
yes.
blessings.
Yes. yeah, we'll cook. It's cool. We'll bring the cooking.
Yes, digital potluck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Christina. Thank you to my two other halflings. Thank you to everyone who's listened. Wait! Before we finish this episode, we have some amazing people to thank. Our first ever patrons! Thank Woo! You so much for being patrons, for joining us so early in our adventure. I hope you're already enjoying the content that is available on our Patreon. There's already bonus episodes and videos. There's even a session 0 of Wagadu that you can go and watch. There's loads of good stuff on there. But we wanted to do a special shout out to our first ever patrons. Thank you so much for joining us. So, a huge thank you to Dusty.
Taylor, yeah. aka Farmer Lewis, one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah. Jason from What Do You Do podcast. We've got Wesley, who is the amazing sleepy poet.
Don't forget Trevor from Difficulty Class.
Amsterdam. Yeah. I was getting there. Oh. Trevor from Difficulty Class, who Unati joined on a previous episode of theirs, which was awesome. We had Bardic is in there as well.
We have Leo, another one of my best friends in the world.
Yay! We have the amazing Kate / Little Miss Epic, who did one of our amazing pictures that you can see actually on the banner of our Patreon. So a huge thank you to you. Kate. We've got Andrew. We've got Catherine. We have Precious. Kenneth is here. Austin. Allison. And then we have In Action. I don't know who In Action is. You need to email us and tell us who you are, because they actually chose to give more than our top tier, which is extremely generous. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then
much,
last, but very not least, we have...
Oh, my mommy and my daddy, Nolita and Moses, thank you very much.
They're so cute. They have super no sweet. Idea what any of this means, but they just want to show support.
They subscribed separately as well. Like, not even the two of them. They both set up accounts and subscribed.
So cute.
So lovely. So just the hugest thank you to our patrons. Thank you so, so much for your support. It means so much, and it's going to enable us to carry on making loads more awesome content for you guys. So have a really wonderful day. So long, Shire folk, and thank you to our wonderful patrons.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Okay.